This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's hop right to it. NBA draft recap. Just finished watching all 30 picks. So this is as fresh a reaction as we can offer. And I am bringing in my man, Mike Tazzi, to help break it all down. The Magic going Tristan Da Silva with the 18th overall pick out of Colorado. A very Magic pick seems to be the consensus thought. And it's hard to argue with that. And we'll break down some of the reasons why. So we'll just start there. I thought maybe we would see Dalton Knecht fall. I didn't think going into the draft like that was going to be a possibility. I didn't spend a lot of time in the lead up thinking about Dalton Knecht as a possible pick for the Magic at 18. But then all of a sudden you're in the thick of a draft. And this is why we love this stuff. Guys just start to fall that you don't expect it. You start doing the math and going, you know, you're one pick away, two picks away. Once the Miami Heat weren't the team that took him, you're looking and saying, this game's not perfect, but the offensive skill set is better than anybody else that's available, and the Magic need offense. Of course, he was taken one slot ahead of the Magic by the Lakers at pick 17. So I like the pick the Magic wound up with. I went into the draft thinking Tristan Da Silva is the kind of guy that they might draft, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But then I've got my hopes up. So I'm kind of stuck in between liking the pick, but also feeling disappointed because of the way that this all went down.
Oh, totally agreed. I saw Tristan Da Silva. First of all, hi Kravitz. How are you?
Oh, hi.
See you. Trying to bring some personality into this. It is 11:25. So, hoping to bring some energy for this hour, watching the Yanks getting their ass kicked down 11-2 to the Mets. Get blown out every day. Could get talking some Yankees Orioles stuff. But again, this is about the NBA draft. Just trying to set the table. Tristan Da Silva saw him mocked to the Magic pretty much every mock draft that I looked at. And this was probably the least track I've ever kept of an NBA draft. There was just not a whole lot of buzz about it. Not a lot of top end guys, you know, going in the lottery. I mean, it's the most no-name 1-2 in a draft I've ever seen. And, you know, that's because they're coming from France, which, thanks to Wemby and some others, they got some great credibility, some big FIBA coming up. But to finally spin around to the Magic, when I was doing the due diligence and seeing what players might fall in what part of which round to what teams, Tristan Da Silva did seem like a good fit. 6'8", part German. High IQ guy, watched him play very well at Colorado. Jay Billis said that his floor is really high. His ceiling might be low, but at least he has the high floor. Still doesn't feel like it addresses the exact needs for the Magic in terms of like a skill set, three-point shooting, rim protecting, or a pure point. But there's a high IQ player who can team up nicely with Franz and Paolo and kind of give you another variety of a 6'8" guy who can do a lot of things.
Yeah, it's just it's a depth add. But I went into this draft not really caring all that much who this team wound up with, because I don't think this guy, whether it's Da Silva, which we know it is now, or whoever else it could have been, maybe even Dalton Knecht, if they end up drafting him and he were to fall, this guy's not going to see the light of day. Their roster is loaded with guys they want to give minutes to. Hell, Anthony Black barely played last year. Jed Howard didn't play at all. Both of those guys were higher draft picks in what's considered a better draft than what this one is. And you're about to add some players in free agency. So, you know, you just start to run out of room on a roster. I don't know how much Da Silva is going to play, but it feels like a depth piece because he is a Magic player to the T. And he can shoot the three a little bit too. Rangy, versatile, German. I mean, it all sounds pretty familiar. And I already saw the Jeff Weltman quote after the draft. Such a Weltman guy. And Weltman's response was such a Weltman response to a Weltman guy. His quote was, he brings shooting, IQ, skill, positional size, something that we're looking for in this draft. And he checks a lot of boxes with the 18th overall pick. I mean, I could have written that him.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about the Magic these days, is even if you don't necessarily like the prospect, when you say, oh, this is such a Magic pick, they have like a theme. They have like the identity, the things that they like to do. And it's worked to the point where they got, what, 2 years into a rebuild and they made the playoffs. So it's pretty good so far. You want to find ways to take that next step and win a first-round series, and they were oh so close to doing that. But hopefully there's more to come in the trade market or free agency. I have a feeling maybe they'll be a little bit more aggressive than they normally have shown to be because they're letting this thing marinate. But you bring up Connect. Do you think they really would have taken him even if he was there? I feel like they wouldn't even have done that. Yeah.
No, I don't think that at all. No, exactly. Yeah, he was they go, who's that guy from Tennessee that's available right now? No, I think honestly
he was like a Cam Whitmore type of guy, I feel like, from last year.
Exactly.
You know, both like you slid and me the were, same way. And
we were all in on that.
Yeah.
That's the type of explosive player that brings the offense you need. They didn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. And Connect, I don't know if you saw his interview after he was drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah.
The guy might be dumb as rocks.
Gym rat. but he's a hooper. He's in the gym all the time. And well, I feel good. Like the basketball IQ was there, I'm sure. I mean, the only reason he fell really is because he's 23 years old already. And most, especially the bad teams, like the Wizards of sorts, they want to develop a guy at 18, 19 years old. And, you know, that's sort of the new way of doing it. But for the playoff teams, the ready now teams, I'm fine with getting a little bit older of player. I'm sure J.J. Redick's pumped to the new Laker coach, having a guy like Connect who can shoot the ball and just like that becomes kind of a high level piece for a team like the Lakers that has like no assets and no way to really acquire. So that's a nice sleepy pick for them. I liked it. But you go back to Da Silva. I mean, Jay Billis was acting like he'll definitely be able to play right away, whether he'll actually get minutes or not. He's that high IQ of a guy to where he's kind of a finished product, and he is what he is. And yeah, good front court depth, which I feel like the Magic do already have a lot of. But
yeah, I mean, they have like seven of the same guys, and that's what they're trying to build. They're trying to put together a roster that's like an amoeba. And you mentioned it, like I love this, and we see this all the time in the NFL draft. I think even more so than in the NBA, where teams draft their kind of players. Like you could see a guy on a board, the Ravens are on the clock, and you know they're about to snag that guy. The Steelers, the Patriots for a while till they lost their way were like that. I like
Steve
that. Yes, exactly. But it also creates a little bit of predictability, and there's just – you and I used to talk about this all the time. There's like this lack of, I don't know, pizzazz, edge with this Magic team. They need just a little infusion of something that's different. Everybody feels so vanilla on the roster.
Yeah.
That's why I love what Jalen Suggs brings, because he does bring that sort of energy. But they need a little bit more of that. And they're always drafting the same personality. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just
even
it's predictable.
It is predictable. And even the skill set, even more so than the personality. I like a balanced team. I mean, there's certain parts of every sport, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, I like to lean a little bit into something. But at the end of the day, you want to have some balance. You want to have, when the Bill Belichick do your job, you want to have a guy for each job if they could specialize in it. I guess the way the Magic look at it, if we have a full team of guys who can do everything, then that makes a pretty high level. And Franz, despite the terrible Game 7 shooting performance, he's been the man and can do a lot of things. Paolo is Mr. Do Everything. So when I think of, like, just the way I think of it, Paolo's clearly the guy, and how do we help him? I don't know. Yeah, I won't say Da Silva won't help, He's another high IQ person who can also defend multiple positions at 6'8". But I guess it all comes back to, can we make a ton of threes in a game and just blow teams out? And it's easier said than done. Like Caleb Houston's a spot-up shooter. That's sort of the type of player I want, a spot-up shooter who's no doubt making an open three, but also a guy who can, like, kind of take the ball off the dribble. I guess there's been some Malik Monk rumors. So
done. The Malik Monk stuff is pretty much a done deal, because he signed an extension with the Sacramento Kings, and he could have
I'm at right now. I'm off Twitter. I'm in the dark.
I got you. That's what I'm here for, Tazi. Yeah, he signed an extension. He didn't even see the light of day with free agency. I'm shocked by that, because he would have gotten a bigger offer. Him signing in this, so there's this in-between period. This is a new wrinkle in the CBA between the end of the NBA finals and the start of free agency, which is on the 30th. Teams can negotiate with their own free agents. So an unrestricted free agent can still sign with the team that they were on. So Malik Monk signed with his team in that period. He would have been unrestricted. He would have been given well over $100 million on the open market and signed for 78 with Sacramento. So he loves where he's at.
The point that I was going to make, like, even if they were to court Malik Monk, I'm still not sure he's the guy you want to throw. You're finally going to throw $100 million at someone. Not sure if he's the right guy. I like him in Sacramento. I'd rather chase that skill set through the draft, though, or a shrewd trade. But yeah, I think they could use a kick with some scoring off the bench. Like Cole Anthony, it was sort of his job, and I don't know. He's not able to take it to that next level. He's been in the league long enough to where he should be kind of who he is, and nice player, but I don't know. The Magic need more from that role, I think, especially when Suggs is sort of erratic with the shooting. He's there for defense. Some nights he's banging threes. I still think more years go into his career, he's going to be a very trustworthy three-point shooter. I think he has that in him, but just not sure he's going to erupt for high point totals, at least in the near future, the way they could use somebody besides. And it's not like Paolo scores a bunch of buckets every night, but on the nights where Paolo's a little bit lower scoring and facilitating, and if Franz isn't getting 30, need somebody else to be a threat for like 25-30. I think they need like one more guy who could really get you 25-30.
Yeah, and I do think there were a couple of guys like that in this draft. I mean, they're not building their team through the draft anymore, but still, I got intoxicated by the idea of a couple of names that were in there, even though I didn't think they'd ever see 18. But okay, I do want to move on to some of these other picks, because there were some other I just started jotting down notes, not every single pick, because it was one of those, I just wanted it to be natural. You know, like if I had a take, rather than just running to Twitter, by the way, I'm going to need the side story on why you ditched Twitter, because it has to be fascinating.
A lot going on.
But I decided to open up a notepad in my phone. So I've got a bunch of little bullet points that most of them are very simple and completely useless, but they're there. But final grade on the Tristan Da Silva pick for the Orlando Magic. What would you let her grade it?
I'll give it a B. I feel like that grade came to mind the second they announced that pick. Like Jacoby Walter, who went next, was like a 3-and-D sort of guy who is a freshman, who was a freshman last year, can get a lot better. Those sorts of guys were kind of at the top of my head. If you can get 3-and-D guys or like a connect who can give you scoring punch, who has some athleticism, but for the Magic getting a Magic guy and it being him in particular, just very, very solid. I feel like they got a guy who's not going to be a bum or anything. He can come in and help make winning plays. I liked him when I watched him in the tournament. I always thought he had like a funky name, the Da Silva. That's not a common basketball name. I guess he's half German, half Brazilian. So that's pretty cool. And he just didn't look like a normal basketball player that I've seen a million times. That might be a racist thing to say. I'm not sure.
He looks like a baseball player. He looks like a Latin power hitter that you'd put in the three spot.
Sort of. Yeah. He looks kind of more like a soccer player, if anything, but he's also 6'8". But because of that, I'm like, who's this guy kind of making all the plays for Colorado? And he and the other kid from Colorado who got drafted in the lottery, Cody Williams, those guys did a lot to bring Colorado, make a couple wins in the tournament, right? Or at least one win. They beat Florida.
Yeah, great game.
Silva in the play-in.
I was betting Colorado from the first four game against Boise. So and then because I won, then I fell in love with them and I bet them against Florida, and then they beat Florida. And then I think, if I remember correctly, they played Marquette in the next round.
Marquette.
They lost, but I think they might have covered the spread there too. So that's three dubs in a row if you were betting the against the number. So yes, Da Silva was somebody that was on my radar as well. I'm going to kick it up to a B+ because it's so on brand for them. And he does seem like he's a really good basketball player, obviously. And you can look at the numbers, 38% from three, all that's great. And rangy, and compared himself to Franz Wagner, by the way, in the draft process, which is really cool. He speaks five languages.
What did I text you? I said it's very Franzish.
He is. And he sees that in himself. Speaks five languages and plays the trumpet. So this is a multi-talented individual. Although when Mo Bamba got drafted, I remember being excited because he played chess and it turned out he sucked. So that doesn't always mean
I thought anything. Bamba was going to be good. Even before I had magic ties, I thought Bamba was going to be the truth. He just seemed like the part, but you know, not always. My hit rate isn't as good as I sometimes think it is. But
you're not alone.
Probably watched him all of three times.
And NBA GM took Mo Bamba too, so you're not by yourself there. I'm just gonna start from the top, I don't think I'm gonna hit all these because it's now that I'm looking at the list, it's probably too many. But did you notice the top with the Atlanta Hawks when they were on the clock with the first overall pick, and they wound up taking Zachary Risacher? They went to, I believe it was State Farm Arena. And they showed the crowd. It was packed. Like you would have thought they were drafting Victor Wembanyama tonight. They were like 30,000 strong in this building. Yeah. It was crazy. It looked like a Bad Bunny concert.
All for a player that I don't even really know how to pronounce his name properly. Zachary
Risacher, I believe I think that's the way to do it.
Oh man, Alexander Sarr seemed like he had more number one type of vibe or aura, as the kids say, around him. The other guy, I felt like they got cute a little bit. I don't know. But again, I've barely even seen the guy play. I've seen a couple highlights that they threw out right after he got drafted, and then a very nervous interview in a language that he's not used to speaking. So, but yeah, it felt like the least vibe a number one pick has had since Anthony Bennett.
That is completely accurate. There is no vibe around him. And I'm with you on Sarr, and I'm not saying that this is some like hardline stance I have on which one is better. I've seen as much of them as you have, but Sarr just looks like a number one overall pick. Risacher looks like a guy that goes 11 during your bathroom break, you know?
I mean, it's truly, and I think there's like an overcorrection because of how many great foreign players there have been introduced to the league in the last 10, 15 years. And, you know, Luka, Jokic, Giannis, all these guys Luka was a high pick. So because Luka, I don't know, I guess what I'm just trying to say is there's an overcorrection for reaching for foreign players because they've proven themselves to be some of the best players in basketball. Like we talked about how to save the All-Star game, maybe do a Team US versus Team World, and the World would definitely, if they cared enough to win it, which I think they would, they could definitely hold a candle to the U.S. players. But I don't know. It just, to me, it felt like a little bit too high of a swing for the fences. Victor Wembanyama obviously making teams more comfortable doing that, but this guy was 7'4 with handles. I knew I had never seen it. Was worried a little bit about his weight. These guys, I don't know. If Sarr seems like he could be a little bit Rudy Gobert-ish, and not just because he's from France, but just kind of his movements and the way he even shoots look like Rudy at the free throw line. But hey, if he can knock down an open three, but even more importantly, protect the rim, maybe he can be a piece that finally gets the whiz going. But then it got a little bit more familiar as it went on.
I thought after two, things really got interesting. But your old idea of Team USA versus Team World has never held more weight than it does now. Shit, you could do Team USA versus Team France at this point with the way these Frenchmen are coming into the league. 40% of the country was drafted tonight.
France FIBA is going to be a powerhouse in a few years.
Yeah. But speaking of Wemby, the Spurs drafted Stephon Castel, my favorite draft pick of the entire first round. I love that pairing. He's a defensive beast, and the backcourt reminds me of he was getting comped. I think Jay Billis said
Drew Holiday.
Yeah, to me he looks like Jimmy Butler. Just like that, I think he can be. Not the kind of guy you look at and say, oh, he's got all of this incredible, he's oozing skill on offense, but he's just such a gamer and he has enough to put it together and is a dog on defense. Agreed. You have him in the backcourt, Wemby in the frontcourt. I like what the Spurs are building. Then they drafted Rob Dillingham, but they wound up trading him to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I got a little excited about that for them.
No, I like Dillingham with that crazy core that the Wolves have assembled. He'll fit right in there. He's a little erratic, but also a lot of fun, which you can say that about a lot of the Wolves players. Like, that's sort of in their DNA. And then they went and got Terrence Shannon. Did they keep that pick at the end of the first round, the Wolves?
That is a good question. They did.
That's big time. And honestly, and he got his name cleared from a situation that sounded like he got a very raw deal in terms of, like, the sexual assault thing, and that might have even, for some reason, even though he's already been cleared, I feel like that might have kept him out of the lottery. He could stand to shoot a little bit better, but he's a big-time athlete. So I like low-key. Suddenly the Wolves jumped in and grabbed eight and then got Shannon late. But going back to Castle, yeah, love him. Very balanced, wants to win, cares to win, talked about how he learned how to win with Danny Hurley last year, and Hurley loved that comment. And to all the incoming recruits watching that interview. Wemby needs a guy who cares about winning and knows how to share the ball. And I feel like Steph Castel is just that winning DNA. I don't know if he can take everything on his shoulders and be the lead guy, but as like a third option I like what you said about Jimmy Butler, like a point guard, shooting guard, combo guard version of Jimmy Butler, who's going to facilitate a little bit more, but love that pick. The previous pick, what's his name? The homie Reed Shepard from Kentucky. Like, is that an overcorrection with shooting?
I can't figure that one out. He's one of those guys. I don't want to be sold on him simply because he went third overall. We see guys that miss all the time. When I saw Reed Shepard get taken, and it's not like I don't like him as a player, but if that was the biggest example of how weak this draft class is, that a team felt like he was the third overall pick, that is the 10th or 12th pick in a draft on any other year.
You know why? It's because Devin Booker was that sort of pick, and even in maybe a little bit lesser of a role from Kentucky, and three-level scorer, not that big, definitely not there for defense. I feel like it's a Devin Booker thing. If teams knew what Devin Booker was really going to turn into, he would have been way more than like a back end lottery pick.
But Book has size. Like, Book is 6'6". Reed Shepard's 6'2". He's going to get bullied in the NBA.
Is Book 6'6"? I thought he was 6'4". I mean, I could be wrong about
he's
that.
He's listed as 6'6", but who knows with these, you know, it depends on what shoes they're wearing.
Yeah, Reed Shepard looked like a child standing next to Jalen Green, who's still a young player in this league. It looked like a veteran next to like some kid who was out of basketball camp after he got drafted. He's definitely light. So I feel like he could get bodied on the defensive end, but his offense could be elite enough, and he's definitely going to shoot. In the Rockets already have like a lot going on, mishmash of young talent. So I feel like they just kind of swung for the fences with the definite best shooter of the draft. I feel like that's a comfortable thing to say. And he is athletic. Like, at the combine, when I briefly looked at some things, Reed Shepard was up there doing it in athletics. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical on that one, but it's not like we haven't seen guys that are undersized that can shoot be successful, but then you're asking him to be Steph Curry, and that might be a little unrealistic.
Right.
One of my favorites, I was a sucker for Zach Edey. I will steal a line from you that you used to always say on the show. I'm willing to be wrong on this guy.
Yeah, I'm dying with it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Edey. Let me be wrong about a guy who's 7'4" with some footwork. I'll take the L on that if he can't play.
Yeah, he's like not as not athletic as people seem to think. People just see him kind of big and kind of goofy, but hey, Rudy Gobert is goofy as hell, and he just won the Defensive Player of the Year. A team mortgaged right. all their future first-round picks and still moved back at the 8. Good for Minnesota. And even though Rudy was he really the Defensive Player of the Year, or just a really good rim protector on a really good team? He's not like an all-around defender who can defend 1 through 5. Like, if it was up to me, I'd want the Defensive Player of the Year to be somebody who can guard 1 through 5. Having said that, yeah, Edey is fairly athletic, and the most important part is he wants to get better. He's got that. I don't know if I'll go and say he's got that Brady in him, that dog in him, but he does have some dog in him.
Yeah, and I mean, 2-time college player of the year, not a complete stiff. You know, this isn't a Taco Fall situation. He can play,
right?
And I think he's gonna get I think he's gonna get run right away. Zach Edey, Jaren Jackson Jr. front court, like, good luck scoring at the rim against the Memphis Grizzlies if they can stay healthy.
I was saying that at very minimum, he's like Boban Marjanovic, who at one point in his career, when he'd get 20 minutes, he would like score 20 points. He could really fill it up, but you could only play him for so long. So I always felt like that's his floor at the very least, is Boban, who's a serviceable. Well, I don't even know if he's kind of a sideshow in itself, but he's definitely been in the league.
Edey's going to be better than that.
But yeah, and that was like, if he's really not good, he's at least that. And yeah, they're saying he's going to be the starting center there. And Steven Adams has been hurt like the last 2 years, and they really suffered once he got hurt. So he'll be in setting big time screens, and yeah, he'll change how you need to match up with Memphis. And if you get a healthy Ja Morant, just thinking about how he can kind of acrobat through the lane, he can just kind of dish off to Big Edey, you can just slam on your face. Like, I was kind of picturing that once they made that pick.
Okay, let's wrap with this. I want the story.
I did want to say Donovan Klingon, I think.
Oh yes,
will Klingon. I think he'll be the best center in the draft. I really like stats aren't even necessarily a thing with him. I just think he has such a good feel for the game, knows how to play, has obviously won with UConn. But Portland's such a reclamation project. In fact, they made a trade. They got Denny Advia, which I always thought was kind of like an underrated wing.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. Did you happen to see what he got dealt for? Just in the moment. I'm not saying you got to run down the whole trade.
It was
like
Malcolm Brogdon and 3 picks, I believe.
3 picks.
Yeah,
it was like 3 first-round picks. I didn't realize Denny Advia was Klay Thompson.
I mean, speaking of which, the Magic will probably end up with Klay Thompson when I
talk
about
it. That'd be great. Sign me up for it.
Yeah, he's kind of later years washed Klay, and then he commands big money. But if he can turn back the clock, and that's a sensitive topic for me because I'm watching the former DJ LeMahieu, like, struggle hitting the ball out of the infield. So, like, older players who have shown signs, and then you want to give big money to. That's such a scary thing, but Clay's got pedigree, and they don't even need him to do too much. But see, this is—I haven't done radio in a while, and I just go on these.
You're letting it all out. I get it.
Yeah,
I only talk about Klay Thompson every day. Klay Thompson would instant—I'll just give you the same spiel. Instantly, be the best 3-point shooter on the Magic, even if he takes another step back from what we saw last year.
Yeah, like, he did drop 30 in games, plenty this year. And then he also went 0-for-10 in the play-in. So he kind of don't know which Clay you're getting, but compared to Caleb Houston, you're getting a future Hall of Famer at that position, you know. So
yeah. I think it's easier sport to sport. I think it's easier to still knock down threes in your later years than hit the ball out of the infield.
Yes, although basketball, I mean, I don't know. He did deal with some injuries, and obviously he dealt with the big injuries. It's that would be such a magic thing to do in free agency is throw the bag at a guy who's like way past his prime, but like has major credibility and pedigree.
Hear me out. Yeah. Ray Allen with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but Ray Allen with the Heat was making like minimum money, I think. Like he just kind of went there at the end to win. And Clay's going to make, what, $100 million or something?
No, well, you can't pay him that. You can't pay him that. Okay, before we wrap, I want the Twitter story. Why did you ditch Elon Musk?
Elon, sorry, man. I don't appreciate the Neuralink. I think that's going to be troublesome. but it was just a lot of noise on there. I mean, trust me, there's times where something will happen in a game or like the Knicks getting Mikal Bridges. And then they re-sign OG. Like the Yanks have been nosediving, and the whole lineup sucks. Besides Judge and Soto, and Volpe's been okay. Verdugo in a slight plays a good left field, but like major bullpen problems. Luis Gil crashed back to earth. Cole ain't ready yet. That's the quick Yankees feel. So like I want to get all that out. And you know, we had a pretty wild series there. Yanks O's, that middle game was a great game, even though the Yanks lost. And then you guys pummel us 17-5. So yeah, I want to talk about some Yanks O's stuff. The Giants Hard Knocks coming up, like that'll get the juices flowing. Fired up about that. And then like draft stuff. But so yeah, I'll kind of like stimulus react to when I would be about to tweet, but I think that's part of it. It's like, I don't like, are people really living and dying on my every tweet? And like, I'm exposed to so much good in terms of information, like Woj bombs and things of that nature, MLB trade deadline rumors, fantasy baseball stuff. But then like the bad side of it is just everybody's got an opinion. I'm seeing stuff from people I don't know. Just algorithmic that like kind of piss me off. And then I'm walking around like people suck. It's like, I'm just trying to at least, and I don't know, I might be back or I might even make like a burner account just to like stay in the know for things. But then I'm dealing with the same thing I just complained about. So
is part of it just like even just trying to test yourself to see at what level in 2024 am I addicted to social media?
Yeah.
Can I just step away from it?
Yeah, it's a little experiment. And honestly, I'd been thinking about it for months on end. Like if I wasn't trying to do sports media, where I feel like I kind of need to be in and around everything, which I don't know, I might be getting a job not related to sports tomorrow. I kind of find out for like an interview type thing. So cross my fingers on that. I do still one day want to get back into it in some capacity. Just not cracked out for it right now. But yeah, I mean, it's been how many years on end in terms of going on social media every day, pretty much.
Yeah. I catch myself. I don't blame you at all. I was just curious.
I got rid of Instagram too.
Wow.
In fact, Instagram was probably the easier one to go because it's just pictures.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like Twitter, there's plenty of news and breaking news and updates and, you know, betting advice. And there's plenty of going on there. Instagram, I mean, my algorithm is when I go on the Explorer, it's just like hot ethnic women and
Instagram is softcore porn at this point.
Yeah, and comedian clips and sports clips. And it's like, well, I just get stuck on there. And I'm at the point in my life where like I need to really lock in, focus. Get it all together.
Good.
And it's still a process, but I just feel like let's see how the mind reacts to less clutter. And if it's really important, it will find me. Like, yeah, it sucks. I wasn't the first one to see right as Woj tweeted that the Knicks did get the final Infinity Stone for the Nova Knicks and Mikal Bridges. It happened right after Judge hit a grand slam against the Mets to make it 9-7 last night.
And yet you are, and the world keeps spinning.
Yeah.
And you keep breathing and walking. I catch myself all the time. Like, I'll be on the couch and I will have spent the whole day. So, like, a work day where I'm on my phone all the time, trying to keep up with the news, trying to share content. I'm on my phone plenty, even and on top of it, entertaining myself with my own other podcasts that I want to listen to or things that I want to look up just for myself, or pictures of friends and family, whatever it is. Like, it's just all day. And then I get home, I'm sitting there with my kid, and it's 6:30 at night, and I pick up my phone and I catch myself, and I will literally throw my phone across the couch, just pissed at myself for like, why? You've been on this thing all day. What does it matter?
That's the thing. Like, and it is great being able to stay in touch with people. And I didn't even always have notifications on either, so can't really use that as a big excuse. But I get so many like DMs, like just about a goofy video, or like even something that's marginally funny or whatever. And there is some good stuff out there, but like, I just feel like it's a chore having to answer. And someone asked me about this, and it's like I've always been good at like communicating with people that reach out to me. Like, I don't always do the best at reaching out to others, but if they come to me, absolutely, like on time and on task. But that's the problem for someone like me, sort of a people pleaser. I feel like I got to answer back to every little thing on social media, and I'm just like, this is not the most productive time. So maybe at some point I'll get back into it and just try and manage it better. But so far, the experiment where if it's important, it'll find me. I had like 10 texts about the Mikal Bridges trade right away. I get texts every night about the Yankees. Still in major communication with the great Tom Morgan about the Yankees.
Man, he's on top of it.
Yeah. Pretty much a nightly basis. We're talking about the farm system and getting into the weeds. So, yeah, I got your number. I got Stefan's number. Like, I still, the people who are important in my life, you know, if it's that important, we'll be texting and those things. So is it great for social or for like sports media future? Not necessarily, but while I'm sort of taking a official step away from kind of being official in it, I feel like this is a good way to do it. And we'll see. I'm sure around MLB trade deadline, I'll be thinking about at least making a burner to keep up with some Jeff Passan and Buster Olney and the ESPN guys, JP Morosi, John Heyman, all those guys breaking news.
Yeah, there you go. Just at MLB Taz, and just follow Buster Olney and Jeff Passan and the Yankees account, and then you'll be set. I enjoyed this life chat at the end. This was the unplanned, unscheduled life version of the NBA draft. But this is why I have my own podcast feed, because then it doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't feel the overlords going, what are we doing? What are we doing over here? We just chat.
It's perfect.
The clock has struck midnight. I need to go to sleep. It's officially
I didn't
tomorrow.
Even realize I've been getting carried away. That was fun, though. I mean, anytime talking Magic, and again, like full disclosure, probably my worst draft analysis of my life in terms of a lot of these prospects, but besides a couple people I felt biased to from college basketball because they might have won me a bet, or I just appreciate their play. But you know, you see makeup sort of by how they carry themselves, the height, the weight, the highlights, and you can kind of turn that all into like a take. You know, this guy's going to suck. Well, one of my takes about Josh Giddey, real quick before we finish, years back, you had asked me about Josh Giddey. I think it was one of my first times on In the Zone. And I was like, the guy just can't shoot. It's a broken jumper. Good luck, you know, and he can kind of do everything else. And there were even games where he like kind of made threes, and then the Thunder gave up on him probably easier than I did. Like, once he sort of proved to me, like, oh, okay, like he can shoot sometimes. He was in some like off the court trouble that got resolved, but then the Thunder just took him out of their starting lineup in the playoff series with the Mavericks and just said,
he just didn't fit. He didn't fit. Yeah. They get Alex Caruso, which is a nice move for them. And then they draft someone who's like a carbon copy of Josh Giddey in Nikola Topic. So it's kind of funny the way that worked out.
Topic looks fun. I mean, I usually can't get too excited about guys who won't even play a minute of NBA basketball of the year that they get drafted.
We'll forget about him by the time he plays. We're like, who's that again?
Yeah, but that was one of my takes. It was like, he can't really shoot, but he can play make and do everything else. I was like, who's that sound like? Josh Giddey. We're talking about an organization that has millions of first picks. So just because they bought low or sold low on Josh Giddey, not that low. They got Caruso out of him. Always a useful player. But, yeah, they can afford to give up on a guy like Giddey. And kind of like what the Bulls did. They bring in Giddey, which I don't know if he's really a winning player or just a player who can put up some stats. Not a terrible player. And then they got Puzelis, who I remember you had the draft guru on the last couple of years. And right after last year's draft, he was previewing this one as a bit, like, pretty weak draft. But he had Puzelis, as a lot of other people did too, as like the potential number one pick. The Bulls got him at 11, and I guess he's Lithuanian and grew up in Chicago.
Yeah,
so that's kind of.
I think he was a little rough around the edges in the G League, but
yeah.
I mean, these guys, they know who's going to be the top picks years ahead. We'll cap it right there. You go get some sleep. I'll go get some sleep. We'll do it again. We'll do it again soon, Tazi.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.